My father, he told me about these two men. One was a religious man, and the other one was not so much of a religious man. And every morning, the religious man would wake up, and he'd go out to his one of his windows, and he'd open the window as it opened like this, and he would say, "Fill this place with your presence, O God." Every morning, he would do it without fail. "Fill this place with your presence, O God." Well, the neighbor who wasn't so religious didn't appreciate it, and every morning he would walk around the neighborhood just at that time where the religious man would open the windows and say, "Fill this place with your presence, O God." And so that neighbor, he said, "I'm going to fix him. I'm going to fix him good. Tomorrow, I'm going to stand by the window. When he opens those windows and he says, 'Fill this place with your presence, O God,' wham! I'm going to hit him real good." We'll see if he does that again. So sure enough, the next morning he was waiting by the window. And the man opened the windows and he said, "Fill this place with your presence, O God." Boom! Hit him. Knocked him down, knocked him out. So he says, that is the irreligious individual, "Tomorrow, we'll see what he does. I doubt he's going to do that tomorrow." So he went for his morning walk, and without fail, the man, he opens the windows, and he says, "Fill this place with your presence, O God." But not like yesterday. That was overwhelming. Well, you know, there are things out there that if we're not careful, they will knock us down and knock us out. The things that I'm talking about are, believe it or not, not the evils of the world. You and I, as believers, we have to be careful even of the good things of this world. The title of this morning's message is "Keep a Light Touch." You know, Paul the Apostle, he said, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. I will not come under the power of anything." In other words, as a follower of Christ, I do not want even the good things of life to cause me to get off the path that Christ has set before me. I do not want the good things of life to take the preeminence in my life where I start to become not as effective for the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, you must remember that Jesus has called you for a purpose. And it's up to you to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and to not allow anything to take priority in your life, especially the good things of this world. John said this, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." This message this morning is for the believer, and it is to encourage the believer to press on. You know, there's a lot of good things, and in of themselves, there's nothing wrong. But the good things of life can look like this. For example, some of you younger kids, video games, hours and hours of television, putting sports and things of this world in a place where Jesus Christ should be. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that all video games are bad or television, but we have to be careful. Christ must be the priority of our lives. For others, it could be a career. It could be a relationship. It could be taking the children here and there and everywhere. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just using different examples. So don't think that I'm talking to you specifically. But we all, as followers of Christ, must be careful that we don't make the secondary things primary. Paul said this to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He says, "No one engaged in warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And again, the title of this message is Keep a Light Touch. And there's two reasons why I'm going to share it's so important for us to keep a light touch on the things of this world. Number one reason is because we were called to please Jesus Christ above all things. Paul told Timothy, using this illustration of a soldier, of someone who's in the military. The person who is in the military can't entangle himself in the affairs of this world, so that when the person who enlisted him or put him at post needs him, the soldier is available, not wrapped up in the things of this world, and is there to please him. The illustration is to communicate the idea that God Christ is our commander-in-chief. He is the one who has called us, and we've followed his calling, and he is using us and desires to use us in greater ways for his purposes, and we can't get wrapped up in the things of this world where we start to drift away from the very purpose in which God called us. Our lives as followers of Christ are to be pleasing to him. That's reason number one. Reason number two is because you and I, we don't want to become fruitless. There's absolutely no good reason why any follower of Christ should be fruitless. If you profess that you know him, your practice must show that that is true. And it's God's desire that we would bear much fruit for his kingdom. Jesus said this as he gave the parable of the sower in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word. And when we see the word here in this text and in the context, he's talking about understanding. Understanding the gospel message. So the person who understands the gospel message and receives it. But as time goes on, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Listen, you and I must be careful. We must be careful that we do not neglect the calling of Jesus Christ. Because whether you believe it or realize it or not, over time, if you're not careful, you can drift so far away and become unfruitful. And there's no reason why, as I said, that any of us should not bear fruit for God's purposes. Listen, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches can choke that word out, and you become unfruitful. Now, the Bible illustrates this. It illustrates this in a man called Demas. I'm going to give you three scriptures, and for those of you who have your Bibles, here they are. You can put a finger in a place in each one of these places. Number one, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. And I'll wait for you to find those scriptures. Oh, you're welcome. The next place is Philemon chapter 1. Well, there's only one chapter, verse 24. Philemon, verse 24. And then the third and last is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Again, Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, Philemon, verse 24, and 2 Timothy, verse 4, I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 10. Now, if you have your finger in Colossians chapter 4, we'll start there, and I'll repeat the scripture verses as we progress. Now, Demas, we're introduced to him in Colossians chapter 4, verse 14, by Paul. And Paul says this about Demas. Demas greets you. The verse is Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greets you. Now, we're going to see how Demas was a part of Paul's company. Demas obviously must have knew the saints in Colossae. Demas was an individual that hung around believers, heard the gospel, understood the gospel, received the gospel, and on the surface looked as if he was engaged in the work of the gospel. We see that in Philemon, verse 24, as Paul calls him a fellow laborer. And he says, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. Again, greeting Philemon. And he mentions Demas in this list of those who were working with Paul. Could you imagine having the opportunity to work with the Apostle Paul? That would have been such a wonderful blessing. But we are so blessed because we have his writings. And they're so inspiring, huh? And so here Paul, he says that he was a laborer. And so you see somewhat of a progression, but also we're going to see a digression. He goes from just greeting. Then he goes to being recognized as a fellow laborer, and now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, listen to these words that Paul says about Demas. To me, I see it as tragic. And it can happen if we are not careful. It can happen to any of us. We must keep a light touch on the things of this world. Paul told this to Timothy. This is at a time in Paul's life. This was his final words in writing. He told Timothy, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica. How sad is that? Paul was facing execution, certain execution. He was in prison. But Demas, someone who everyone recognized, someone who was engaged in the work of the Lord, because Demas wasn't careful. And perhaps it was the persecutions that came from following Christ. We really don't know the reasons why Demas defected, but Demas did. And it said that he forsook his post because he loved the things of this world. How sad, how tragic that is. And you and I, again, we must be very careful. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of wonderful things that God has blessed us to enjoy. But we cannot take the secondary things and make them primary. Remember, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So the question that we must ask ourselves is, what is the true priority of our lives? What do you spend most of your time thinking about? Most of your time doing? Is Jesus truly first? Jesus must be first. If we are going to bear fruit for God's kingdom and if we are going to please him, Jesus must be first. Now, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, along this same idea, he says in verse 29 of chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, but this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, Even those who have wives should not be as though they had none. Those who sleep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. Well, some of you may wonder, well, Pastor, really, what does that mean? Especially those who are married as those who did not have a spouse. Some of you, perhaps in your heart, are getting a little excited to hear that. But you shouldn't be excited. Let me bring some clarity to make sure that no one misunderstands what Paul the Apostle is saying. Now, in the context, we find these verses in chapter 7, as I said, and Paul is addressing the topic of marriage and single life. Now, there's certainly nothing wrong with being married, and once we say, I do, that is a lifelong commitment. God intended that a man and a woman, when they are joined together as husband and wife, they work out their marital future, no matter what comes. And he only gives very, very small reason for anyone to be able to be divorced. Number one, infidelity. And number two, the second reason is abandonment. Other than that, we are called to work through everything. So that's God's will, and Paul is certainly not contradicting God's will. But what Paul is saying that even though we are a part of different things in this world, whether it's marriage, whether it's troublesome situations and we're grieving, we're sorrowful, whether things are going well and we are so happy and blessed, whether we have a lot of possessions, whatever the circumstances, time is short. And we cannot make the things of this world so prevalent in our lives that we forget that this world and the things of this world are passing away. And whether you realize it or not, even marriage is a thing of this world. Because in heaven, there's no procreation. There is no given in marriage. Marriage is a thing of this world. Marriage, children, all those things are part of this world. Now, they're good. But they can't come first. And it's sad because for some folks, their spouse is number one, more than Christ. For others, it's not the spouse. It's the kids. The kids rule the home. The kids, their schedule dictates everything. And they come before Christ. And that's not right. Or it's the business. It's the possessions. Again, we must be careful. Why? Because the time is short. And from now on, these things shouldn't possess our hearts, but Christ should. Now, Paul, he says in verse 35, and this I say, for your own profit. I'm not trying to put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Now, he was counseling those who were unmarried to stay unmarried because it's hard. Marriage is not easy. It's a blessing, but it's not easy. And as far as he was concerned, he felt that you would do much better if you stayed single so you could serve the Lord with all of your heart and not be distracted with the challenges of marriage. But marriage is a good thing. And I would like to use it in the sense of all the things of this world. We've got to be careful that we keep a light touch. Because God doesn't want us to be distracted by the things of this world. And so, in closing, I want us to do one thing. I want us all to stand. Well, maybe this is more than one thing. I want us all to take a moment. And I want us to think about what is the priority of our lives? Is it planning for your retirement? Is your health become priority number one? Are the kids the priority of your life? Is your career the priority of your life? Is your circumstance the priority of your life? Are you overwhelmed with sorrow, and so sorrow has taken over? And you're always depressed and discouraged? You've lost hope? Remember, Jesus is your hope. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And if Christ is the priority, everything else will fall in place. Jesus can heal the broken heart. Jesus is the one who came to deliver us. Jesus' words and the teaching of scriptures, if we obey them, they bring such peace. And this message will do one of three things. Two of them are intended. One, the message is intended to confirm. That is to confirm, hey, you're going in the right track. Some of you, in your mind, you're thinking, yes, Christ is number one. And the message confirms to keep on keeping Jesus number one. Yes, I can enjoy the things of this world, but I'm going to keep a light touch on them. And so you feel blessed because you are on the right path. You're doing what's right. This message is a confirmation. For others, it may be a message of conviction. The Spirit of God is convicting your heart. You know things are out of order. Jesus is not priority. And that's a good thing. Conviction is a good thing. And we're going to take a few minutes and just ponder. And then I'm going to share something with you. But the third thing, and the message is not intended to do this. You may be feeling condemned. The message is not intended to condemn you. If you feel condemned, it is not God condemning you. Satan is the condemner. He's the one who loves to condemn. And so if you feel condemned, you'll know, because you'll feel like this. Oh, I can't go to God. I'm all entangled. I can't go to God. And you'll feel perhaps the enemy whispering his lies. God doesn't love you. Look at you. You're a failure. You keep blowing it. And that condemnation is pouring on. That's not the Lord. That's the enemy. You got to submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But let's take these moments. Listen to the words that I am about to read. And let's let these words be our charge. And let's make a commitment to be soldiers in the Lord's army. Let's make a commitment to let go if we got a tight grip on something. To let it go. Leave it in God's hands. Let's make a commitment to put Christ first above all things. And so I want you to hear these words. And I want you to agree. We are soldiers in the army of our God. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commanding officer. The Holy Scripture is our code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are our weapons of warfare. We have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. We are volunteers in this army, and we are enlisted for eternity. We will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. We are faithful, reliable, capable, dependable. If our God needs us, we are there. We are soldiers. We are not babies. We do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. We are soldiers. No one has to call, remind, write, visit, entice, or lure us. We are soldiers. We are not wimps. We are in place, saluting our King, obeying His orders, praising His name, and building His kingdom. No one needs to send us flowers, gifts, food, cards, or candy, or give us handouts. We do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. We are committed. We cannot have our feelings hurt bad enough to turn us around. We cannot be discouraged enough to turn aside. We cannot lose enough to cause us to quit. When Jesus called us into this army, we had nothing. If we end up with nothing, we will still come out ahead. We will win. Our God has and will continue to supply all of our needs. We are more than conquerors. We will always triumph. We can do all things through Christ. The devil cannot defeat us. People cannot disillusion us. Weather cannot weary us. Sickness cannot stop us. Battles cannot beat us. Money cannot buy us. Governments cannot silence us. And hell cannot handle us. We are soldiers. Amen. We are soldiers. Even death cannot destroy us. For when our commander calls us from his battlefield, he will promote us to captain and then allow us to rule with him. We are soldiers in the army and we're marching, claiming victory. We cannot give up. We cannot turn around. We are soldiers marching heaven-bound, and here we stand. Amen. Let's make that true of us. And for those of you who are here this morning and you don't know Christ, he's calling you into this army, but you must volunteer. As that call comes, you must, from your own free will, say, yes, I will. He won't force you. And this is an opportunity for you. Jesus is calling you into his family. It's his heart's desire to see you walking in the truth. Walking, putting him, number one, walking with him. And perhaps you have been just overwhelmed by the things of this world and you're empty inside and you know that you need change. Well, Jesus, not only does he want to help you, but he wants to transform you and give you a fresh new start. Today, this could be a new beginning for you. And I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything visible, I mean. But Jesus is calling you, and you sense his spirit calling you. All I want to do is give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. And with that being said, let's bow our heads and our hearts. And I want to pray for you. And for any of you who are here, and you could say, Jesus, I need you. You could say, Pastor, I don't know where I would go. If I were to die today, I don't know where I would go. Well, God wants you to know. Jesus wants you to know. He died on the cross for your sins. And he rose from the grave, proving that there is life after death. And what Christ's desire is, and God's desire, is that no one should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And so if you want to make that commitment to Christ, you can right now. From your heart, you can pray. And if you want, you could even pray out loud. And you could follow this prayer. Jesus, I pray that you forgive me of my sins. I recognize that you are the Savior of the world. That you died on the cross for my sins and you shed your blood so that I could be forgiven. I come to you just as I am. Forgive me. Give me your Holy Spirit. And use me. I volunteer to be a part of your army. Use me. I want you to be the priority of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you made that commitment, I'll be here after service. I have a gift. You could see some of the things that I'd like to give to you. A CD, a book to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. I'll be standing up here. You can come and see me after service and say, Pastor, I made that commitment to Christ. What next? What are the things that Christ has me to do or wants me to do next? And I'll help you the best that I can. And if you're too afraid to come see me, I don't know why. I'm only 5'7", about 170-something pounds, trying to work on that. But it's not the priority of my life. Make sure you tell somebody. If you came with somebody, tell the individual that you came with. Hey, today, I made that commitment to Jesus. It's important for you to share that you've made a commitment to Christ. And it's important for you to read the Bible, read the Word of God. You could start in the Gospel of John and just begin to read it prayerfully. It's important for you to pray. And then it's also important for you to be in fellowship. So get plugged in. If you're visiting, this is not your home church, well, get plugged in to a church. Personally, I can't think of a better one. It's right here. Amen. God may have a different plan for you. And as long as you get into a good Bible-teaching church, He'll bless you. And so having said all these things, let's close in prayer, and then Tony's going to come up and share some final announcements, and then we'll close the service with a song, and then, as I said, I'll be standing right here. You can come and see me. Father, we thank You so much for Your faithfulness, Your kindness, Your goodness, Your mercy, Your grace. We thank You, Lord, that You have called us into Your army. And Jesus, You are our commander-in-chief. And Lord, You don't want us to be entangled in the things of this world. And so, Lord, we have made that commitment to follow You above all things, to make You first, and to keep a light touch on the things of this world. Lord, we believe that You're coming soon. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but the signs of the times are evident. And so, Lord, we want to be faithful. When You come, we're ready. We're not wrapped up, but we're ready. We want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.